Because the reality is that we are a family. I talked about this last week. We talked about how powerful we are as a family, that we are united together in Christ, a part, each one of us a part in whole of the family of God. And I was thinking about this week. It was on, I think it was Wednesday morning. My kids went back to school. They had their first day back to school on Wednesday. And so typically I will go into work really early, but I decided I was going to see the kids off that day. And so I went to the gym early in the morning. I got home, I showered and got dressed, and I came downstairs and Megan was already up, ready. In fact, she took it a step further. Megan was in the kitchen making breakfast. Yeah, miracles happen, guys. My daughter is 15 and a half years old, and I don't know what clicked, but on the first day of school, she wasn't just making bread. No, I'm not talking like she was pouring cereal for everybody. Megan was up, she had the stove going, and she was making omelets for everyone. Wow, is right. Wow, wow, wow. At first I was kind of taken back. I was a little shocked. I don't know if just coming to summer, the kids been sleeping in, and so I was like, wow, Megan, this is amazing. And I don't know what clicked in her, but she has decided that part of her responsibilities this year at home is that she is going. So Thursday morning, same thing. And so I just decided I'm not going to go into work early anymore. I'm like, I'm staying around home. And so Thursday morning, once again, she's up. She's not pouring cereal. She is making Friday morning. Once again, me, Sonia, and Drew all enjoyed omelets at the hands of Megan. And at first I was kind of shocked, but I was really proud of her. Like, this is amazing, Megan. And something's clicked in her where she feels like this is like her way of giving back to the family. And so she's got this new way of contributing to our family by helping contribute and make breakfast every morning. So she's been a part of our family for almost 16 years now, but she's found this new way to give back to our family. I think every family encounters this in some ways. As your children grow up, they become more of a contributor than a consumer, right? When your kids are young, they're completely dependent upon you. They get a little older, they're kind of able to take care of themselves. And bless God, we are in a brand new season where we're taking it a step further. And now Megan is stepping up and actually shouldering some of the load. Some of you know what it's like to get up in the morning, get your kids ready to get to school on time so that they don't miss six or seven tardies and get a detention. And so it's a lot of work for Sonia. And so Megan is just, she stepped up, and now instead of just being a consumer, she's becoming a contributor. And here at Red Chapel, we like to look at the members here, this congregation, as a family, because this is the biblical way to view the church. And so then we should also think about each of us as individual members of that family. And as we grow in the family, it's this natural progression for us to move from consumer to, some of you knew where I was going this morning, to a contributor. We go from being a consumer. In fact, if we don't make that transition, there's something wrong with us. It's called arrested development. Something has hindered our development process and needs to be fixed so that we can mature and grow appropriately. So maybe to just kind of start off to give you some insight on where I'm going, maybe it'd be a good idea if some of us around here started making omelets. And I don't mean literally making omelets every Sunday morning, but for something to switch in our mind where we go from just being a consumer to realizing, like, I'm a part of this family, and I have something to offer, and I'm going to help shoulder the load. I'm going to go from being a consumer to being a contributor. And part of our core values here at Red Chapel, if you've been around long, you've heard us say that we do four things. We gather, we grow, we give, and we go. And we talked about this idea of gather last week and how it's not just one of our core values. It's something that we take straight from the Bible and the way that the early church grew over the last few centuries. And so this is part of our core belief here at Red Chapel, is that we give. We give. We're not just consumers. We are contributors. So everybody contributes. Everybody gives. This is us. This is us. This is what Red Chapel looks like. I read some studies just this week, and they say that in churches, typically 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. I want you to think about that for a minute. Could you imagine if only 20% of your body was functioning as it was supposed to? Because remember, last week we talked about the churches, it's like a body. Could you imagine if 80% of your body was not functioning correctly? And this is typically what it looks like in a church, is 20% of the people are carrying 80% of the load. Imagine how exhausted that 20% of your body would start feeling. In fact, if you did this, if you were only functioning on 20% of your body, there'd be parts of your body that would eventually just begin to shut down. You couldn't survive if only 20% of your body was functioning at capacity. But the reality is God made his family to work and operate like a body. And so we have an obligation to the health of the body here at Red Chapel to be operating at our capacity and functioning like it's supposed to, that we're supposed to be healthy. And what that means is that everybody contributes. Everybody gives. Many hands make light the load. And so God in his foreknowledge, as he began to form what we know as the church today, corporately and even locally here at Red Chapel, the Holy Spirit, when you were born with natural gifts and talents, right? You have these unique abilities, this unique you that you offer to the world. And when you are born again spiritually, the Holy Spirit also distributes unique gifts to you to help the entire body of the church. Paul writes about it like this. He says, there are different types of gifts. So each and every one of us are uniquely made, uniquely crafted, uniquely given gifts that only we possess. But they are all given to believers by the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve. And so Paul is talking very practically to the local church. And he says, there's different ways to give. You all have been uniquely crafted and created differently. The Holy Spirit has distributed unique gifts to you. And there's also different ways to serve, but they all come from the same Lord. And then watch this. He says, the Holy Spirit is given to us each in a specific and special way. And he says, that is for the good of all of us. And so God saw that right here at Red Chapel, that there were specific needs that would need to be met in this church. And so the Holy Spirit distributed gifts to each and every one of us that when fully operating, fully functioning, would create a healthy body, a healthy church. That's the point. In fact, that's what I want to talk to you about today is this, simply is this, is that giving, because give is a core part, it's a core value of who we are as a church. We gather, we grow, we give, and we go. And if you're taking notes, just write this down. Giving is living. Giving is living. When we're all giving as we were created to and as we should, we will be contributing to the body in such a way that the whole body will be healthy. This is the point of all, is that giving is living. That when we're all giving the way that we're supposed to, the body, the church, the local church right here, this family, it will be whole and healthy. But when we cease to function as God created us to, we will literally begin to atrophy. We'll cause the body begin just like your natural body. If you were functioning on just a small percentage, you'll begin to die. So there's literally life and death in our giving. And so giving in the most real sense, giving is living. And I want to show you this from a little bit different perspective. We're going to go to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there's this interesting story about a woman who was asked to give everything she had to God in a really unique way. So it's found in 1 Kings chapter 7. If you got your notes there, you can read along with me. 1 Kings chapter 17. And so let me kind of set the stage for what we're about to talk about today. And at this particular moment in time, the prophet Elijah, the man that God is using to speak to his people, he's living in an area that's in a severe drought. In fact, God has caused a drought to come to this area. For a few years, there's not going to be any rain that's going to hit this land. So up until this point, God has miraculously provided to Elijah. In fact, you can go back and read the rest of the story later. But earlier on in this chapter, Elijah literally every single day, ravens would bring him food every morning. They would bring him breakfast. Like, they didn't need Megan to bake omelets. Literally, ravens are showing up every day. Because here's the deal. Even in a drought, God always provides for his people. And sometimes, miraculously, he'll provide. And so imagine you're Elijah. There's this drought, severe drought. There's a lack of food, a lack of water. But God miraculously provides to Elijah. And so every morning, some ravens show up at Elijah's door and they drop off breakfast. Like breakfast in bed. It's like ordering room service. And then again at night, ravens would show up and miraculously provide Elijah with food. And then at this point, God tells him that he's to go to a village called Zarephath. And he says, there, I'm going to provide for you in a different way. He says, I want you to go and there's going to be a widow there. And I've already instructed her that she is to give you food. So here's where we pick up in chapter 17, verse 12. She said, so Elijah shows up into Zarephath. He sees this widow, and he says to her, will you give me some water? And she's like, well, just a minute. She starts to walk away, and he's like, hey, wait, time out. He's like, I want you to give me some food, too. Like, beggars can be choosers, right? So he asks her for food and water, and she says, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar, a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. So God sends Elijah to a woman who only has enough food left to prepare one last meal for her and her son, and their plans are after that, we're going to die. And then I want you to notice what Elijah says. So first he asked her for water, then he asked her for food, and Elijah said to her, oh, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you said, but I want you to make a little bit of bread for me first. She's about to cook her last meal. Her and her son are about to die. She's only got a little bit left, just enough for him and her. And Elijah tells her, oh yeah, I want you to go enjoy your last meal, but before you do, I want you to make me some bread first. And then he says, then you can use whatever's left to prepare a meal for yourself and for your son. Like, can you imagine? Pastor Donnie showing up at your house. You have very little food left in the cupboard. You're about to die. And he sits at the table and says, well, I want you guys, definitely want you to enjoy your last meal. But before you do, would you just use that and make me a nice meal? I haven't eaten in a while. It's been a long time. I want you to make something for me first. But then Elijah tells her, he says, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says, that there will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. And so there's a principle throughout Scripture when it comes to giving. I want you to catch this, and I've taught this to you before, but I want you to catch this from this story. This is so powerful. That it didn't matter how much this woman had or didn't have, and she's literally down to her last meal. But when it comes to giving, write this down. When it comes to giving, you're to give with purpose. You're to give with purpose. And it's not a coincidence here that Elijah tells this woman that before you do anything else with what you possess, first, you're going to give to the man of God. What Elijah was doing was Elijah was just reinstating a principle that's always been established throughout Scripture from the very beginning of time, is that when it comes to giving, you always give to God first. And then he tells her, you get what's left. And this is powerful. This is a powerful principle that you have to understand when it comes to giving. Giving is living. When she put God first, when she gave God first, all of a sudden that little bit of flour that was in that jar, that little bit of oil that was in that jug, Elijah tells her, because you have done this, there will always be enough flour. There'll always be enough. In fact, he tells her, until the Lord decides to ease up the drought, this house right here will always have enough. Your needs will always, because when it comes to giving, you give with purpose. In a very practical sense. On Sunday morning, when you come, we're going to pass the offering plate in a little while. This isn't an advertisement for offering today, but the truth is we're going to take it, we're going to receive an offering today. And when it comes to giving, you give with purpose. You don't show up to church on Sunday to decide, oh, you know, I got whatever I got. I brought 10 bucks today. I brought 20 bucks. Or man, pastor's lucky because I got a couple hundred bucks today. And so whatever I have today, I'm going to give. This is extra, and I'll give from the leftovers. That's not how it works with God when it comes to giving. When you give with purpose. And so you should have already planned out before you ever showed up on Sunday morning what you were planning to give. In fact, let me take it a step further. Maybe you should get your family together and decide what you're going to give, because you're giving with purpose. And instead of just showing up and giving what you have that day, what if you sat down on Saturday night and decided as a family what we're going to give? And then we prayed over what we were going to give. And we asked God to bless it. We asked God to multiply it. We asked God to meet the needs of his people. We asked God to further his kingdom through what we're giving. We're giving with purpose. We're giving with purpose. Giving with purpose. What if you actually thought about how you might be able to give God what you've uniquely been given through the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What if you thought about, like, instead of just, you know, coming in on Sunday, enjoying service and leaving, what if you thought about, like, how has God uniquely gifted me to be able to serve this church? So I'm talking about giving. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about the gifts that the Holy Spirit has distributed to each and every one of us. What if you actually thought about it and you became intentional? You discovered the gifts that God's given you. And then you started to figure out, where can I serve with the gifts that God's given to make the body whole, to make the body healthy? What if you saw purpose in every way that you can? This is what giving is all about. Giving is not just giving God the leftovers or just haphazard about what you do with what God has given you. I'm talking about being, listen, everything that you have belongs to God. We're really just stewards of God's possessions. He entrusts us, whether that's money, whether that's the unique gifts that God's given you, they belong to God. God just entrusts us with them. We're stewards of them. I promise you, I hope you at least, or at least hope you don't approach your money this way, like, well, you know, we'll just spend on whatever we feel like spending on, and we'll buy this, we'll buy that. Hopefully you're very intentional with your resources, right? And the same can be true, can be said of the resources that the Holy Spirit has uniquely distributed to you. I want you to understand today that the Holy Spirit has uniquely equipped you to play a part in the body of Christ. And he gives us these gifts, and we're to steward them. We're to give with purpose. We're to give with purpose. So not only is this a core value of who we are as a church that we give, but we're very intentional about how we give. And the second way that we give with purpose. Write this down. The second way that we give is that we give with passion. We give with passion. I want to do a little group exercise. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to just think back to the time when you first gave your life to Christ. Just think about it for a minute. And if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, can you remember or think about that time when you were young and you were in love? Maybe it was your very first love. Do you remember the passion that you had at that time? I mean, you were anticipating the needs of that person. You were trying to meet them in any way you could. Maybe if we're talking about your first love towards God, like you were the first one at church in the morning. You were the last one that was leaving in the afternoon. You were excited. You were up for anything. You had just passion oozing out of you. You were so grateful to God for all that he had done in your life. And you were just looking for any way to give back to him. Do you remember that? I want you to compare that to your passion now. How does that compare to the passion that you have today? Have you allowed your passion to fade? Have you allowed that spark to go out in your first love towards God? What would it be like to rekindle the passion for the things of God? What would it be like to rekindle where you're not just giving because you know that's what I'm supposed to do. You're not just giving out of obligation, but you're serving with passion. Because when it comes to giving at Red Chapel, I don't just want you to give. In fact, we try to be very strategic with where we place people with where they're serving at Red Chapel. Because I don't want people serving in a place where they don't enjoy it. I can remember, this was probably 4 or 5 years ago, Drew was really young. And every Sunday after service, we'd get in the car and I'd always ask Drew, so what did you learn in kids ministry today? And they would come home and they'd kind of give us the opportunity to spark a conversation and to teach kids about God's word. And I remember one Sunday we got in the car and I was like, all right, Drew, so, you know, how was RC kids today? How was church this morning? And he's like, Dad, I hated it. I was like, oh, wow, okay. The pastor's kid hates going to church on Sunday morning. Houston, we have a problem. He's like, the teacher was so mean today. And he was going on and on. And so we had our staff meeting that week. And I was just like, you know, I'm just curious who was teaching in Drew's class. And it was a new person that had offered to serve. And they were in the class that day. And I kind of shared the story. I said, I want you to kind of I need somebody to reach out. Just ask that person, how was their experience today? And they reached out to that person that was serving in kids ministry today and they told them it was like the worst experience ever. They hated it. What we found out is that's not where that person belonged. That was not the way the Holy Spirit had uniquely gifted them to serve in children's ministry. And they were not serving with passion. Now, we had a children's ministry last week. And we were talking and Wendy, she's probably in children's ministry right now, but Wendy. Oh, there's Wendy. Wendy, yeah, give your hands up. Can I give a hand clap to Wendy? Wendy recently has offered to lead our kids ministry. And she was telling the story last week about Juliet. Is Juliet here this morning? No? All right, she's probably in the kids ministry as well. Oh, there she is. Juliet. Raise your hand, Juliet, so everybody sees you. Sorry, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I didn't ask permission, but I'm going to tell this story anyways. Because this is what I mean. This is what I mean. Is that Juliet... It serves in one of our kids ministry classes. And she's in there just about every single week. In fact, I think for a couple of months, she did not miss a Sunday. She went like 3 straight months where every Sunday she was serving in kids ministry. And then she had a mental breakdown. No, I'm just kidding. She was serving every single week. And so what we finally was like, okay, Julie needs a break inside of kids ministry. And so last week they put somebody new into the kids ministry. And Wendy said, all of the kids were saying, hey, where's Miss Juliet at? Why is Miss Juliet? You know why? Because Julie's serving with passion, right? This is what I'm talking about. We don't just give. We give with passion. We serve where God uniquely gifted us to serve. When you give, you don't give grudgingly. You don't give because pastor got up and he asked for offering. He made you feel bad because you haven't given in a couple months. In fact, the scripture tells us if that's the way you give, that you shouldn't give at all. You don't give begrudgingly, reluctantly. You don't give because you feel forced to give. That's not the way you give. When it comes to giving, not only do we give with purpose, we serve with passion. Like, we're excited that we get to serve in kids ministry. I'm not, because that's not the way I was gifted. But those of you that are, like, you're excited about it. I love to teach, though. I get excited. Like, Sunday mornings, it's like, I'm on a high. Because this is the way that God's gifted me. And so I love to teach. I love to preach. Like, I get excited. And I serve with passion because that's just the way that God created me. So we don't just give. We give with passion. And so if you find yourself, let me help you for a minute. If you find yourself today and you're giving but you're not passionate about it, maybe you need to rekindle the flame. Maybe you really need to rekindle the fire that you once served from that place. And I'll tell you the best way to do that. Is to start thinking about everything that God's already given you. To start thinking about all the things that God's done in your life. You can do this. You can do it right now. You can do it this week. As you start thinking about all that God's done in your life. You see, thinking about all that God's given you. The many blessings that God's constantly pouring over you and your family. What happens is you start giving from a place of gratitude. In fact, Here's the ultimate place of giving. Giving then doesn't just become that you're giving with purpose and giving with passion. You actually start to give as a form of worship. as you're giving, as you're serving, you're doing it as a, from a place of worship. This is how it was in the Old Testament when the children of Israel, they would bring offerings. They would bring lambs and goats. And they would bring all these burnt offerings and they would offer them to God. Their gifts were their way of worshiping God, for recognizing him for everything that he had done for them, for placing him as the priority. That's what worship is. Placing God as the priority in your life, honoring him as the person of priority in your life. And so in the Old Testament, you know how they worshiped? Every week they came and they brought gifts. The wise men, when they came to, what did they come to do? They came to worship Jesus. And the way they worshiped him as they came, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they offered these gifts to Jesus, this little baby lying in a manger. The way they would worship him is through their gifts. Paul would write a letter to different churches. One of them was the book to the church at Philippi. It's the book of Philippians, and he recognizes the financial contributions that they were making to make sure that he could go and preach the gospel. And he recognized it as a way of worship. In fact, watch, he says, your gifts, they came up as an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So when you're serving, when you're teaching those kids, when you're greeting guests, when you're preparing, you might be just be setting up chairs. You might be our worship team. They're up here singing and leading us in worship. Wherever you're leading a small group, you're out on an outreach team. You're helping stuff backpacks so we can give to kids in need. You're doing it from a place of worship. The sacrifice, your gifts that you're giving, Paul says they come up before God as a sweet-smelling odor. They're a form of worship. That's why Paul tells us that you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or response to pressure. Watch this. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Cheerfully. You're excited for the opportunity to give. Not like, oh my God, this is so hard to write this check. Well, most of you probably don't write checks. But however you decide, whatever method you use for giving, it's not like, oh my God, this is so difficult. It's so hard to let go of these finances. It's so hard to get there early on Sunday morning to serve. It's so difficult leading this small group. I didn't really want to go down there on Tuesday night and pack those backpacks. No, you're serving from a place of passion. You are serving like you got a smile on your face when you are giving. You're giving because you're serving, you're giving with passion. So there's intentionality and joy both in the giving process. There's both purpose and passion. And then there's one final element to giving. That is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Give with purpose, give with passion, and lastly, give your all. Give your all. Let's remember the widow who was asked to give her last remaining flour to the prophet of Elijah. She had nothing left, nothing. And yet she understood that she was being asked to trust God and give her all. Let me just say this too. Is sometimes you may not think that you have a lot to offer. You may downplay what the unique gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to you. But this poor widow, she only had a small measure of flour. She only had a little bit of oil left in the jug. But guess what? It was enough. It was enough. When she gave her all, no matter how little it was enough. Because giving is living. Because whenever you give something to God, it's always multiplied. The prophet Elijah told her, so from this day forward, as long as this drought lasts, there will always be oil in your jug. There will always be flour in that jar. It didn't seem like a lot. And I think sometimes when it comes to the body of Christ, you think, well, I don't have a lot to offer. This isn't much. But let me tell you something. If you will give your all, it's enough. And then God takes it, and it's always more than enough. When it comes to the local church here, the family of God here at Red Chapel, nobody here has everything that the church needs, but we all have something. We all have something. Don't discount what God's given you as a gift to the body of Christ. Well, it's just a little bit of flour. It's just a little bit of oil. Don't discount what God's given you. Don't downplay the gifts that God has given you. So I want to ask you this morning, what does your all look like? What does your all look like? For this woman, it was just a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. For others throughout scriptures, it was their houses. It was their lands. Literally, when the church first started, people were selling their houses, their lands. They were bringing all of their money, their possessions. They were giving it to the church. They wanted the gospel to be preached. Later on, throughout the centuries, for some people, it was their very life that they gave. They just decided to give their all. But here's the beauty of the story with this widow, is that there was always enough flour and oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. There was always enough oil and flour in the containers for her and her son to eat. See, she found that when she gave her all, she was always taken care of. In fact, her very life came from the fact that she gave everything that she had to God through the prophet Elijah. And this is what I mean when I say living is giving. In fact, can I tell you the truth this morning? You don't really start living until you start giving. I know that's hard for some of you, but I'm telling you don't really start living until you start giving. When you start experiencing God taking what you have and what you give to Him and Him bringing life to it, Him multiplying it, you really don't start living until you start giving. So the next verse that Paul tells about when it comes to giving, he says that God will generously provide all you need, and then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. There is literally life in our giving. There is living in your giving. And you'll find out that not only do you have enough for me and my son, but that we all also have enough to share with others. You give your all. You don't just give with purpose. You don't just give with passion. Really, when it comes to giving, you know what God requires from you? He requires everything. He calls you to give everything. And here's the interesting thing about this story, is that it doesn't stop here. You can keep reading it a little bit in verse 17. Sometime later, watch this. In fact, if you haven't heard anything else, I want you to hear the rest of this sermon right now. Okay? This is what I feel like God really wants to speak to us this morning. In verse 17, sometime later, that same woman's son became sick. Read this with me. He grew worse and worse, and finally, he died. And this woman said to Elijah, "Oh, man of God, what have you done to me? Have you come here to point out my sins and to kill my son?" This woman has given everything. She gave Elijah the last bit of oil and flour that she had. She gives it to him. God provides for her because God always multiplies what you give. But then a few seasons later, this woman's son becomes sick and she dies. And Elijah comes back to see her and she's chewing out the prophet. She's saying, what are you doing? Why'd you even come here? Have you come to point out my sins? Did you come to kill my son? Have you ever noticed that whenever bad things happen into our life, we immediately we take all the blame for it? Like, it must be because there's some sin in my life that everything wrong is happening. I'm sick because I've got sin in my life. My finances are bad because I lost my job because I've got sin in my life. And that may be the case sometimes, but sometimes bad things happen to good people. And so she said, What did you do? You come here to point out my sin and then to kill my son? And then watch what Elijah says. I'm talking about giving your all. Elijah replies and he says, "Give me your son. Give me your son." See, God wants you to give him your all. When it comes to giving, God requires everything. Give me your son. This wasn't asking for the last bit of flour and oil. He wasn't just asking for her to prepare. He's asking this woman to give her the thing that is most important to her. Give me your son. Her son is dead, and she says, give me your son. And so he takes the child's body from her arms. He carries him up the stairs to the room where he's staying, and he lays the body on his bed. And he stretches himself out over the child three times, and he cries out to the Lord, Lord God, please let this child's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child returned, and he revived. Then Elijah brings him down from the room, and he gives him to his mother, and he says, look, your son is alive. Your son is alive. God's not just asking her for flour and oil so that he can multiply it. Catch this morning. Sometimes God will ask you for some of your resources. Sometimes when God will ask you for your money. There's times when God will ask you to serve. But can I tell you, when it really gets to the nitty-gritty, God asks you for everything. Not just the good, but sometimes it's the bad. Not just the things that are healthy in your life. Listen to me, somebody, this morning. God doesn't just want what's healthy in your life. God wants what's dead. Give me your son. Give me the things that have died. Give me your... Oh, this is what I feel like the Holy Spirit would say to some of us this morning, is that God wants the things that are dead in your life. You know what it's like to give God things that are alive, and God take it and multiply it? Can I tell you what God's really looking for? He's looking for all of it. He's looking for the healthy part of you, and he's looking for the sick part of you. He's looking for the part of your life that is alive, and it's exuberant, and it's doing well, and it's thriving. But what he's also looking for is the parts of your life that are dead. And he doesn't want to take them to embarrass you. She's looking at Elijah like, oh, what do you want to do? You want to come here and you want to just point out my sins? You want to kill my son? Some of us are, we're okay giving God the things that are already going well in our life, but we're hesitant to give God the things that are dead. Things that maybe we're embarrassed about. Some dreams that we allowed to die. Some relationships that are broken. These are the things God's saying, give me your son. Give me your son. Not to embarrass you, because this is the thing, giving is living. Because the things that you give to God, God has the ability to breathe life. And some of you are holding on to some things that are dead in your life today, and you're protecting them or you're hiding them. And today, God has come here today. The Holy Spirit is saying to you, give me your son. Give me the dreams that you gave up on. I want you to relinquish those back to me today. And I want you to believe that I can breathe life. Give me that relationship that you thought was broken, that was done, that was over. And God's saying, give me your son. Surrender to me the things that are dead in your life. And I'm going to breathe life back into them. Elijah says to the widow, she brings that little boy back down. She says, look, your son is, he's alive. He's alive. That's what God wants to say to some of you today. He wants to take the things that are dead in your life, supernaturally breathe life back into them and say, see, it's alive. It's alive. This is what God does with what we give him. Some of you are so hesitant to surrender, to give things to God in your life. I promise you, he's going to do one of two things. He's either going to multiply what you already have that's alive, or he's going to take what's dead and he's going to breathe life into it, because giving is living. I want you to stand with me this morning. I want to ask you this last question this morning. What has died in your life? What has died in your life? What's dead in your life this morning? What in your life this morning is lifeless? God's asking for your all so that he can breathe life back into you this morning. Would you close your eyes with me for just a moment? Because I feel like the Holy Spirit really wants to resuscitate some of us today. That there are some things in your life that you weren't expecting it to turn out this way. Some of you, you've given everything to God. When God's asked you for something, you've surrendered to Him. And God blessed it, He multiplied it. There are seasons in our life when there's been some things in our life that are dying, we can't explain it. We don't understand it. We're tempted to question God. What did you do, God? Did you come just to remind me of my sin? Did you come to kill my son? Did you come to kill my dreams? Today, the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to give me your son. I'm asking some of you to just be honest today and search yourself. What has died in your life? Give it to God. Give God that hurt that's deep, that pain that's deep inside of your life today, and watch God breathe life into it. Give God your hurt. Give God your failure. Give God your mistakes. Give God your dead dreams. Give God your broken relationships. Give God the things that are dead in your life, because God is the God who brings the dead back to life. Give me your son. Some of you know the Holy Spirit right now. He's speaking directly to you today, and He's calling you to surrender that thing in your life that is dead to Him. To have the faith to believe this morning that God can breathe life back into your dead situation. That place in your life that seems hopeless. That situation that seems lifeless. Would you give it to God today? Would you literally surrender everything that you have and everything that you are to God this morning? And allow God to breathe life. Again, Father, I just thank you today that when we come to you, we don't just come and bring you our best. We don't just come and bring everything that's already put together. But that you have given us the opportunity, even this morning, to come and to bring the broken things in our life, the hopeless things in our life, the dead things in our life, the situations that ain't working out like we expected them, the scenarios that didn't turn out like we had anticipated. You're asking for everything so that you can ultimately breathe life. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would do that in just the next few moments, that you would come into this room and you would breathe life. Eternal life, life and life more abundantly. God, that we would feel your Spirit breathing life back into our lives again today. Would you do that this morning as we sing this last worship song? Would you just offer God all of you today? Would you surrender God everything this morning? Would you give him the opportunity, the chance, the Holy Spirit, the chance to miraculously breathe life into you this morning? I believe today that the Holy Spirit would want to end this service by saying the same exact words that Elijah spoke to the widow. Look, look, your son is alive. Listen to me, somebody. The Holy Spirit today wants to breathe into your life. He wants to say these words over your life. Look, look, that relationship, it's alive again. Look, your finances, they're alive again. Look, your failures, they're alive again. The place in your life that seemed hopeless, he's alive. It's alive. It's alive today. The Holy Spirit this morning is wanting to breathe life. Why don't you just, would you just raise your hands as a form of surrender to the Holy Spirit today? Would you just say that, God, I'm surrendering everything.